call the Health and Social Services Committee to order at 3:05 p.m. on Thursday, March 28th, 2024. We're meeting in Davis Room 106 of the Capitol Building. Please silence your cell phones out of courtesy to others who are attending. Committee members in attendance today are Representative McCormick, Representative Ruffridge, Representative Fields, Representative Mina, and myself, Chair Prox. So we have a quorum to do business, and I want to introduce the Health and Social Services Committee aide. I share it with the rest of the committee. Health and Social Services Committee aide, Riley Nye, who is to my right. Please pass any correspondence with the committee through Mr. Nye. And I also want to thank Cheryl Cole, our recorder, and the gentleman who is monitoring could introduce himself, then I could thank him too. Shelby, our teleconference moderator. The items on today's agenda are HB 309, Delegation of Routine Optometry Services by Representative Ruffridge, and HB 283, to extend the Alaska Commission on Aging. So, the first. This will be the second hearing of HB 309, Delegation of Routine Optometry Services, sponsored by Representative Ruffridge. And to assist him is Bud Sexton, his Chief of Staff. Would you please want to come forward and just give us a brief recap of HB 309?
Thank you, Chair Prox, and members of the committee. For the record, Bud Sexton with Representative Ruffridge's office. So very quickly, HB 309 is a simple bill really to give optometry the ability through the board for delegation of routine services that are normally provided in their offices on a very frequent basis. In previous statutes and regulations, they were not granted the authority, so this is in effect some kind of going back and maybe some cleanup language to be able to make sure they have the authority under the board to be able to perform services that are throughout their offices on a frequent basis. Very simply, Mr. Chair, that's a very brief recap for this bill for you.
Good, thank you. And we have Dr.
Delzer and Dr. Cross are available for questions if the committee has any.
We did hear public testimony on this bill. Do we have any questions? Does the committee have any questions for either Dr. Cross, Dr. Delzer, or the bill sponsor? Representative Mina.
Thank you, Chair Prox. Through the chair, this can be towards the bill sponsor and staff, or it might be appropriate for some of the providers available for questions. I just want to put on the record that there was a letter of opposition and concern from the American Academy of Ophthalmologists, and some of their concerns are related to clarity on who can be delegated services, which services may be delegated, the levels of required supervision, and the required education by people who are delegated the services. So I would just love a response on those claims there. Thank you.
Thank you. Through the chair,
Ruffridge.
Representative Mina, excellent questions. Our office has done a little bit of work on this. This actually, it's interesting that this letter is in somewhat, it seems like opposition to the bill. However, the provisions that are outlined in their letter are actually the provisions that are to be addressed by the bill. So many licensing boards actually are delegated the authority. And I think we could probably go through those boards that are delegated the authority to set up what services can be delegated by the professional, which services those are, who they can be delegated to, the levels of required supervision, because the delegation falls in essence under the license of the licensed professional. So in the case of a pharmacist with a pharmacy technician, in the case of a physician with a medical assistant, so on and so forth. So the board in this case in HB 309 is being given the authority to do these exact things, which probably shouldn't be prescribed in statute. It's a little bit easier to negotiate those things through regulation, which will then be out to public comment and everybody can have a say in sort of how that process happens. So HB 309 is essentially a framework bill to give to grant the optometry board the framework in order to draft these provisions about delegation of services. Right now, those services are being done already without the statutory language granting those provisions of delegated services. So certainly statutory framework is needed in order to accomplish that.
Thank you. May I follow up?
Representative Mina.
Thank you, Chair Prox, through the chair. Thank you, Rep. Ruffridge, for the clarification on delegating a lot of those guardrails to the licensing board. My follow-up might be more appropriate for Director Rob with CBPL, if she's available for questions on this. The letter from the ophthalmologist makes a comparison to the practice of dentistry, and they say that in statute for dentistry that there's more guardrails in statute. And so I'm wondering, perhaps, Director Rob, if you could address the differences, or maybe staff as well, between dentistry in the statutory guardrails that they have versus this bill that has guardrails that are going to be relegated through licensing board regulations.
Ms. Rob, would you like to answer that?
And Mr. Sexton would have some things to say on that as well, Mr. Chair.
Would you like me to go first?
Please.
So, yeah, Bud Sexton for the record. So perhaps an even more direct comparison to Representative Mina would be ophthalmologists themselves. And in statute 0864106, it basically outlines very clearly of how ophthalmologists are actually licensed. And if I may read, it's regarding the delegation of routine medical duties. The board shall adopt regulations authorizing a physician, podiatrist, osteopath, or physician assistants, and ophthalmologists, to my understanding, are also included under there. They're licensed under the chapter to delegate routine medical duties to an agent of physician, podiatrist, osteopath, physician assistant. The regulations must include one, require that an agent is not licensed under this chapter may perform duties delegated under the section only if the agent meets applicable standards established by the board. Two, require that a physician, podiatrist, osteopath, or physician assistant may not delegate duties related to pain management, opioid use, and addiction. And three, define the phrase routine medical duties. So that is the what defines ophthalmologist. And again, to as was mentioned previous, that this is the goal of HB 309 is when we talk about the delegation of duties, it is to those routine medical services that are being talked about. So ophthalmology and optometry, ophthalmologists have already been granted this through a different section, and optometrists were not included in this, and so that's the goal of this bill to try to rectify that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Sylvan Robb, Director of the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing. Through the chair to Representative Mina, having not just immediately reviewed the dental statutes prior to this meeting, I can't speak to them specifically, but we would be happy to provide a follow-up to the committee. I can tell you that this type of delegation language is quite common, and it is generally preferable for items that may need to be changed in the future to be in regulation so that the board has that flexibility to stay current with national practices as well as changes in terminology, changes in technology. And I do know, I believe, Dr. Cross, who's the chair of the board of optometry, is available as well. So he may be able to speak to the board's intentions as it relates to regulations regarding this bill.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Cross, you said, are you available? And did you hear Representative Mina's question?
Yes, through the chair. This is Dr. Cross and Sol Dotna, the board chair for optometry in Alaska. I did hear the statement and the question, and I do agree with what Director Rob had just said, that establishing the guardrails that basically are going to be set up through a regulation project is the typical way to do this. Very much like we did recently with the telehealth bill that was passed. So we afterwards, started a regulation project to define how that would work for optometry. And I envision us getting a project started and going for this House Bill 309 if it goes into effect pretty quickly.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? Director Rob, just a general question on how this works. The folks that are going to be delegated the authority to do routine tasks, they don't have to be licensed specifically, do they?
Mr. Chair, they do not. So optometry, while dispensing opticians is a licensed profession, it is separate. So there's not, as Representative references earlier example, there is not sort of the equivalent of a pharmacy technician. There isn't an optometry technician. But as Representative Ruffridge mentioned, the licensee is responsible for the practices performed by that person to whom they're delegating. So it is certainly in their interest to ensure that that person is well-trained and capable.
It's, to follow up, it's in the interest of the license holder to make sure that whomever they delegated authority to is competent to do the job. But the responsibility still remains with the license holder. Is that a fair statement?
Mr. Chair, correct.
Okay. That's just common sense, but we're dealing with statute, so I wasn't sure. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Robb. Does either Dr. Cross or Dr. Delser have additional comments that they would want to make at this point? Questions we forgot to ask you, for which you have the answer, yes. Okay, seeing no further questions or comments, we have had testimony. I don't know that I set an amendment deadline, but just ask the committee, are you thinking maybe there's something that needs to be amended? And then in that event, Representative Ruffridge, do you have a motion for us?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would move House Bill 309, version 33-LS1189/A from committee, with attached individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes, and I authorize Ledge Legal to make any technical or conforming changes if necessary.
Okay. Is there any objection? So with that, seeing no objections, House Bill 309 moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. back on record. Next, we'll be hearing the initial hearing for HB 283 to extend the Alaska Commission on Aging, sponsored by Representative Dybert. And here to assist her is Sarah Evans, Representative Dybert. And Ms. Evans, if you would please come forward, introduce yourself for the record, and give us the presentation on 283.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and esteemed members of the committee. For the record, my name is Maxine Dybert, representative for District 31, which is the downtown Fairbanks. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to address you today regarding House Bill 283, an act extending the termination date of the Alaska Commission on Aging. House Bill 283 proposes extending the sunset clause of the Alaska Commission on Aging to 2032. Without legislative action, the commission would expire on June 30th of this year. This commission has been around since 1981 and has been extended every 8 years since then. It plays a vital role in coordinating state initiatives to assist and uplift the senior population through various services and support mechanisms. Every 4 years, the Alaska Commission on Aging crafts a state plan for senior services, used as a strategic blueprint for senior resources, both in rural Alaska and urban areas as well. This comprehensive plan encompasses a spectrum of senior services, ranging from meals and transportation, safety and protection, adult day services, housing, vocational training, legal aid, and so much more. Notably, it fulfills a federal mandate applicable to all states receiving funds under the Older Americans Act. This act mandates that states maintain a designated planning and service area to access allocated funds for senior programs without the Commission on Aging. Alaska risks losing roughly $5.7 million annually in crucial funding earmarked for these services. During the formulation of the most recent state plan, the Commission on Aging orchestrated over 40 dialogues spanning across Alaska. These engagements involved serving seniors and serving organizations that dedicate to their welfare, ensuring a thorough understanding of existing needs, opportunities, and service gaps within Alaska's diverse communities. Each year, the Alaska Commission on Aging also gathers data to provide a snapshot of the health and well-being of Alaska residents who are 60 years and older. It gathers data about population growth, poverty rates, mortality rates, economic indicators, the number of seniors receiving benefits, such as those provided by the Senior Benefits Program or food stamps, as well as health, safety, and housing information, particularly concerning long-term care and the associated expenses that come with that. This summary of the Alaska senior population helps the state to understand the underlying dynamics at play in our communities and helps focus and tailor government programs towards those who need them most. The Commission serves as a pillar of Alaska's senior care system by advocating for the aging population, providing community engagement, and promoting aging in place within Alaska's expansive landscape, something the elders in my community value above all else. The Commission also offers the essential framework for its initiatives in securing the funding necessary to implement them effectively. The work of the Alaska Commission on Aging is now more important than ever, given the state's rapid growing population in this area. Seniors now represent 21% of the total state's population. Therefore, this is a great piece of bipartisan legislation because there are seniors in need in all 40 of our districts. In closing, Mr. Chair, it is a great honor for me to carry this piece of legislation. In my own culture, I was taught we respect our elders. above all else because of the knowledge and experience that they hold and pass down to us. Elders are protectors, they are mentors, teachers, and keepers of wisdom. So with that, I want to thank the members of the committee for hearing this bill, and I would like to pass it on to our invited testimony, if that's okay, who can speak more to the commission and Alaska's growing senior population.
Okay. And I have three folks lined up to testify and one to answer questions. So start off, Bob Silverston. Mr. Silverston?
Beaverton. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, please. Put your name on for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. I'm Bob Beaverton. I'm a lifelong 73-year-old resident of Alaska, and I'm from Ketchikan. I'm also the chair of the Alaska Commission on Aging, and I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 283, and I'd like to thank Representative Divert for her sponsorship and her elegant portrayal of what the commission does. As asked, we're seeking reauthorization and extension of the commission operation. Before we go through that process, we also go through a legislative audit to make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to do under the umbrella of the organization under SBF. And it's more than just merely administrative. It's fundamental to our mission to ensure that the dignity and independence of all older Alaskans and assist them in leading meaningful lives through planning, advocacy, education, and interaction, interagency action. Every state in the union has a unit on aging. This is part of the mechanism for receiving Older Americans Act funding that supports Alaska programs like home and community-based services, meal programs, housing assistance, and transportation services for seniors. The commission gathers data and creates the senior snapshot. This report helps educate public and private sector about who the seniors are, what the senior impacts are, and where the needs are for seniors in the state of Alaska. Through our quarterly meetings, we work with partners across the state to access and address senior needs. Some of those partners are the Alaska Mental Health Trust, AARP, AgeNet, Senior and Disability Services, the Department of Labor, and senior centers and senior providers, to name a few. Our commission work, particularly in developing Alaska's safe plan for senior services, is a statutory requirement. The plan is a testament to our state's commitment and a guiding framework for senior services across Alaska. Moreover, our collaboration with the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority as a joint advocacy advisor amplifies our impact, especially in addressing the mental health aspects of senior well-being. The continuation of our commission, as proposed in House Bill number 283, is critical for sustaining our ability to serve Alaska senior populations effectively. We appreciate your support in passing this bill, ensuring that our seniors continue to receive the focus and attention and care they deserve. And again, thank you for your time and consideration of this essential bill.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Sivertson? Representative Fields.
I have a question through the chair that my colleague pointed out. Why, Mr. Sivertson, do you know why we would even have a sunset on the Commission on Aging? Why wouldn't we just eliminate the sunset period? Thank you.
Through the chair, and thank you for that question. That has been considered, but I think through boards and commissions, it's a process by which the sunsets give you an opportunity to audit these different boards that serve the state of Alaska and make sure that they are doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. Yeah, it takes some time and it costs some money, but I think it's effective in reminding us that we have a duty to serving our seniors and serving the state of Alaska in a responsible and effective manner.
Okay, thank you. Representative Ruffridge.
Thank you, Chair Prox. Thank you, sir, for your testimony and for your service on the board. or commission. I guess bringing up the audit, I just wanted to check in. There was only one recommendation in the audit, and it actually, I guess, would be something that you would care for as the chair, and that was ensuring that a yearly analysis and evaluation of services would be provided to the legislature and the governor. Could you just describe sort of the plan for moving forward with that recommendation? Maybe that's already happening now. I just wanted to check in with you.
Thank you for that. Yes, that has already happened. There was a period of time, of course, through COVID where we weren't meeting face-to-face, but there was also, for the Commission on Aging, we went through, I think, four administrators in a short period of time, and it was hard to find the continuity, I think. We were without staff for a while, and then we had numerous board members that transitioned in and off because of term limits. But that is no excuse, and that process has been corrected, but we did continue to provide the senior snapshot. We did continue to advocate on different bills that supported seniors through the state of Alaska and programs, and we continue to work with SDF in regard to their grant services and to disperse the funds from the Older Americans Act.
Representative Dybert?
Yes, through the chair, thank you. We also have Chris Curtis in the room, who is from Ledge Audit, who might address that question as well.
Ms. Curtis, we always enjoy hearing from you.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Chris Curtis, and I have just a really brief overview of the audit. Again, Chris Curtis, Legislative Auditor. I believe you all have a copy of the audit, sunset audit of the Alaska Commission on Aging. And just as a reminder, a sunset audit, the purpose is to evaluate whether a board or commission is serving the public's interest and whether it should be extended. So overall, we found this board was serving the public's interest by helping older Alaskans lead dignified, independent, and useful lives through advocacy, outreach, and education. Furthermore, as already discussed, this commission does serve a federal requirement that every state have a council to advise it on aging matters, including the developing and administering the state plan. So we are recommending an 8-year extension for this board or commission, and that is the maximum allowed for in statute. We had one administrative recommendation that's already been discussed, and that was that statutes require that the annual report include an evaluation of the services provided to older Alaskans. And as described, they were producing a senior snapshot, which included statistics, but no evaluation of the services. So to be fully compliant with statute, they needed to rectify that. But other than that, we found the board was operating under challenging circumstances. They did have four executive directors within, I believe, 4 years. So they met their core missions. They're able to carry out their functions, but they did have a little bit of administrative duties to address.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? I think this might be a good time. Does the Commission on Aging do any work on coordination of service delivery? There's different agencies that provide services, and one of the things that I've noticed just doing constituent work is that it's a little bit hard to figure out where to go to get what you need. Would that be something that the Commission on Aging would look into?
Representative, I would defer that to the chair. We do explain in the audit report that they do work closely with the state's Division of Senior and Disability Services. They're basically partners in carrying out the Older Americans Act? The federal requirements, yes. And so they do partner with the state's division on that, but I believe the chair could address that more directly.
Okay. Mr. Cyberston?
Yeah, and through the chair, thank you for the question. The Commission on Aging, in our quarterly meetings and throughout the year, we meet with other senior organizations to make sure that we're making the most efficient decisions in regard to seniors and coordinating that effort so there's not duplication or duplications in funding. So we advocate for common causes for seniors and the efficiencies of meeting with all the different organizations. And they all have their own lane that they stay in, but the commission does bring them together and are able to coordinate the efforts of them. We reach out to them if we hear complaints or concerns from seniors throughout the state. We do outreach programs and we carry informational brochures that we can hand out in the communities that will help them get in contact with whatever services they may need as they age in place or in remote Alaska or in urban, doesn't matter. So, but yes, and we meet with our providers. We send out senior surveys, and we get a lot of information back that we can coordinate. We also do that when we have our legislative fly-in. We have face-to-face meetings with other senior agencies. And in our board, we do have representatives from Alaska Pioneer Homes. We have ombudsmen that show up. We have the Mental Health Trust. We have Senior Disability Services. We have the Department of Labor. And we're all trying to coordinate the efforts of best care of seniors in LAP.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions at this point? Good. So we can go on to John Hagaye, I think it might be pronounced, Executive Director, Commission on Aging, and I have the location of Dallas, as in Texas. Are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right. Thank you. My name is John Hagaye, and I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Commission on Aging. And at the commission, we are advocating for the passage of House Bill 283. The bill is critical as it seeks to extend the life of our commission to June of 2032. At the heart of our mission is the commitment to enhance the quality of life for Alaska seniors. And a pivotal aspect of our work is preparing the state plan for senior services. And the state plan is not just a procedural task, but a strategy for the state that influences our senior population. So the significance of the plan can't be overstated. It serves as the foundation for Alaska millions of dollars annually in federal funding through the Older Americans Act. This funding is instrumental in providing a spectrum of essential services, including meals, transportation, caregiver support, and health and wellness programs across the state. It ensures that our seniors who have contributed so much to our communities receive the care and respect they deserve in their later years. Our commission's efforts to secure the funding are backed by extensive statewide engagement with seniors and service providers. These interactions in the form of listening sessions and rural outreach are invaluable. They enable us to capture the diverse needs of Alaska's senior population, ensuring that our state plan accurately reflects and addresses those needs. Extending the termination date of the Commission on Aging through House Bill 283 is more than just an administrative measure. It's allowing us to continue to take action towards ensuring the health and dignity of Alaska's senior population for years to come. It's for that reason we strongly support House Bill 283. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we have any questions from the committee? Okay, thank you, Mr. Hayahi, I think. Next, we have Marge Stoneking, the representative for AARP Alaska. Ms. Stoneking.
Good afternoon, Chair Prox, members of the committee. I'm Marge Dunking, Advocacy Director for AARP Alaska. The Alaska Commission on Aging has been a strong partner to AARP Alaska in our advocacy work to make Alaska a better place to choose how we live as we age. Their planning, community outreach, and advocacy reflects the data and stories that they've gathered through surveys and listening sessions with older Alaskans and senior providers across our vast state. Their annual senior snapshot and comprehensive state plan for senior services, which along with the engagement with seniors and communities statewide, those documents represent, are invaluable to AARP Alaska and other organizations serving and advocating for seniors and for family caregivers. Further, their quarterly meetings hosted in communities around the state provide a public forum for seniors, their families, and senior service providers, and ensure that the state of Alaska remains in touch with how our state is supporting seniors. So AARP Alaska supports the reauthorization for the Commission on Aging without reservation, and on behalf of our fastest growing senior population per capita in the nation and our 77,000 Alaska AARP members, we thank you for your leadership on this foundational issue for senior services and older Alaskans.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Ms. Stone King? Ms. Stone King, just general information. Has the Alaska AARP noted any ways to improve services that you might want to highlight?
I think the state plan on senior services is very comprehensive. The data gathering that they do is more thorough than ever, particularly in the current state plan. And that's really valuable. And it does, if you read the document through, it does highlight the strengths and weaknesses of our senior services network across the state, and really gives you a good foundation in how states support seniors, and particularly our state.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any other questions for Ms. Stone King? Thank you, Ms. Stone King. And that is all that I see that are signed up to testify. So if there are no other questions from the committee or comments from the committee, Mr. Representative Fields.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Is there any reason we wouldn't just move this bill given the simplicity and lack of controversy?
Very good question. We didn't actually advertise this for public testimony. I would personally think it would be okay to beg forgiveness than ask permission. So if it's the will of the committee, I think we could just move this bill forward. Do we have any objections? No, we need a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 283, Work Order 33-LS11801/A, be advanced from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Okay, do we have any objections? So with that, House Bill 283 is moved from the Health and Social Services Committee. And if there are no other comments from the committee or questions, the House Health and Social Services Committee is adjourned at 3:46.